the body of Christ, the church, valuable beyond measure. Let's pray. Father, we would ask now as we open this incredible book that your Spirit would open our hearts and minds to what you have to say for us tonight. You know each of us better than we know ourselves. You know exactly who is supposed to be here tonight and what each of us is supposed to hear. And so we pray that your Spirit would filter my words and move exactly the right things from these pages to our hearts and minds. Help us to take in your message for us tonight, and then help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Anything that's of ourselves and of the flesh, we just pray that you'd hide from view, take out of our minds, and let it be God, the God of the universe, that we hear from tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world. That's not the bugs and the trees and the... By the way, a little digression, but...
You own such a role.
I know. Your colors. Have you noticed your colors this year? Joanne and I, we're from Louisiana, but we were born and raised in Minnesota. We're used to colors. But I'm telling you, your colors this year, I don't think I've ever seen colors prettier than this year. And then the kind of a damp, dewy day today just made them pop. It was, I don't know how you can, you know, and you take pictures of it and it just, you know, you got to, when we're 99 years old and, you know, you'll remember it up here. It will last beyond the pictures, but it really is beautiful. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world, and he made this incredible world for us to live in. And it is a beautiful place, isn't it? And lots of great things to enjoy about it. I'm a water person. I love to be on the beach. On the beach. On the beach. It would, yep. I like the beach, I like the water, boats, all those kinds of things. I mean, the world he made for us, it's a throwaway world, you know it? But that's not what he's talking about, is it? God so loved the world, he's talking about people. God loves people, the people in this world, so much that he was willing to give his one and only very special son. That if they would just believe in him, they would never have to perish but have everlasting life. Life that would last forever. Life that would start the instant they believed and go on for all eternity. I don't know if... Have you gotten the movie up here? Fireproof yet? If you haven't seen it, go see it. If your marriage is having a little bit of trouble, rockiness that no one here knows about, go see it. If your marriage is just on the rocks, go see it. If your marriage is spectacular, like my wife's and mine, we have the best marriage in the entire universe, go see it. It is a great film, filmed in Albany, Georgia, by a Baptist church down there. And they've done a great job. You need to go see it. Do not miss that show. That anyway. And we were talking, as a result of that show, about the numbers of people at our chapel in Slidell. We run a little Christian school, a little Christian daycare. We reach about 80 kids a day and give them the gospel and Bible stories and memory verses. And you'd be amazed at how many marriages we watch in a year break up. And the answer is 40 feet away in that little chapel building across the parking lot. And they won't have it. And it just breaks my heart. Because God so loves the world. He loves those men and women and boys and girls and homes and families and marriages enough to give his son's life for them. God loves people. And I don't know all of you, but most marriages go through some rocky times. And I don't know about you, because I don't know all of you. But I can guarantee you this, that the Lord Jesus is the answer to marriage. The Lord Jesus is the answer to our lives and our relationships and even our jobs and businesses and all of it. The Lord Jesus is really the answer in this world, because God so loved the world that he gave the world Jesus. Well, God so loved the world, but then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husbands, anybody finish that? Okay, here we go. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it or for her. So God so loved the world, but Christ loved
the church.
The church. Good. You're doing good. God so loved the world, but Christ loved the church. What ought we to love? The people and the church, right? Because God, looking down through the tunnel of time, loved people and sent his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, loved the church, and he gave himself for her. He saw that by his death, he would bring those people into one body, the church. I can't tell you how important the church is, the body of Christ. What in the world does Reidsville need another church for? I mean, you got churches by the gobs here. Have you noticed that? There's like three or four on this road. It's true. I mean, you got churches coming out of your ears. And along come four guys and their wives, I think it was four guys and their wives, and they say, hey, I think we need to start another church. Yeah, right. Like I need another toe. What do you need another church for? Well, did you know, this is probably not news to you, but there's something very special about Reidsville Bible Chapel. And it's not just you all. Though you all are Reidsville Bible Chapel. It's not this hovel that you call a building here. Kidding. It's the people that make up the church. And Christ loves those people. Do you know how valuable you are to God? That's what we're going to be looking at a little bit tonight. The body of Christ, the church, valuable beyond measure. And that's really talking about you, isn't it? You are the church. And if Christ loved the church that much, how much ought we to love it too? Right? We just talked about this at home. So I'll just spill over a little bit on you. What do you think is good? We're going to have a little test. Good, not good. Good, not good. Okay, what's good for me to put my arm around this guy and hug him, or for me to poke him in the nose? There are days when you feel like both, right? What do you think? Which is good, which is not good? Hug him. Hug him is good. Hug him is good, okay? Which do you think is good? To love your wives or to be bitter against them? love your wives. That's good. You guys are doing good. But these are easy, see, you know that, right? The Bible says to love your wives and not be bitter against them. Okay, this is easy. Okay, we're going to get harder. Okay, we're going to quit preaching and start meddling. Which do you think is good? To read your Bible or not read your Bible? Okay, to read your Bible daily or not read your Bible daily? Yeah. Okay. Which do you think is good? To be at chapel every time the doors are open, or not? You see how slow they are to answer that one. We've quit preaching, started meddling now, right? Which is good, to be at chapel every time the doors are open, or not? Right. Good. Good. But you don't understand, Bob. See, I got really important things I've got to do at work. Which do you think is good? To do my things at work or to be at chapel every time the doors are open? No, you really don't. No, you really don't. Because the one who gives us the job is the Lord, right? He gives us the intellect. He gives us the ability to do whatever it is that we do. I don't know what everybody does. You can see what I'm saying. And here's the point of it all. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's what? Sin. Right. Well, it's just a little sin. I mean, you know, you don't understand. Oh, I do understand. I'm a working guy, just like everybody else. But you see, Christ loved what? The church. And that's the people. And the way it works is that why do you have Reidsville Bible Chapel? Because in Reidsville Bible Chapel, the thinking is, we need a place that just teaches the Bible. A place that stands for what God stands for. A place that God's things count. And that His things come first. And I'll tell you a little story. I maybe have told you this story before. We had a lady in our chapel that just never came on Wednesday nights. And I said to her one night, I said, you know, sister, you really need to be there on Wednesday nights. We miss you when you're not there, and there's something missing because you have a part to play in the body of Christ. I don't know what your part is, but you're a part of the body of Christ because you're part of the church that Christ died for. And she said, oh, you don't understand, Mr. Bob. I've got to work. I said, no, you really don't. What you really got to do is be straight with God, and He'll take care of the rest. You don't understand. No, I said, really? Why don't you just ask him if you can take off Wednesday night so you can be at prayer meeting? Just go to your boss and say, listen, I'm a Christian, and it's important for me to be at prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. No, you don't understand. They'll fire me if I even ask. I said, well, try this. Tell them for every hour I miss for prayer meeting, I'll pay you back 2 hours for free. No, she said, he'll fire me if I even ask. Well, where do you work? She said, well, I'm a greeter at Walmart. You're a greeter at Walmart, and they're going to fire you for asking to take off one night a week? She said, he'll fire me if I even ask. I said, here's the deal. God is huge. Do you know how big God is? I mean, He's huge. You ask if you can take the time off. If He fires you, I'll pay you out of my own pocket and trust that God will give me the money to pay you. Oh. Well, I don't know. I'll see, she said. Off she goes. Sunday comes. We get to chapel. I see her across the auditorium. She said, Mr. Bob. She runs across the auditorium. She said, you're never going to believe this. Duh. No, tell me what? She said, I asked for Wednesdays off. I said, you did, and you didn't get fired, right? Not only, she said, did I not get fired, He put me in charge of the schedule. He said, anybody who wants to take Wednesdays off just to go to prayer meetings got to be an honest person. I want that kind of a person making out my schedule. She said, I can take off any time I want to take off now. You see, God is huge and He loves the church. And it's the body of Christ, it's the people, it's not this building. We could meet in a parking lot because the church is the people and God loves people and Jesus loves the church and gave Himself for it. And that's us. Do you know how valuable you are to Christ? And He will honor, I'll guarantee you, He will honor your honoring that. Here in Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy of it goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. A beautiful picture, I think, of the Lord Jesus. And He found a treasure. And you can fill your name in right there. He found you. And when He found you, He went and gave everything He had just for you, you, me. You're a treasure to God. You know your value to Him? Now, in and of ourselves, we're of no value at all. But when you add Jesus Christ to the mix, you are of inestimable value. You are of such value that if you were the only person in the world, the Son of God would have come from heaven, left all of that behind. Think of what He left behind. All of the glory, all of the pomp and circumstance of heaven, the throne room of heaven. He left it behind and veiled for a time His glory and came and walked our dirty streets and died on a cross just for you. If you were the only person in the world, He would have come for you. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? You are of such value. You as a group are of such value. The church as a whole, the church invisible, or the church universal, all those born-again believers from Pentecost to the rapture, make up that church, that body of Christ. And every one of them is that important to God that He would have sent His Son just for you, just for that one. The sorriest one in your bunch, me. He would have sent His Son. Orphan kid from South St. Paul is worth that much to God. My parents paid $55.50 for me. Took me home, made me their kid. God the Father paid the price of His Son for me. What value? Do you think there's value in coming together? Oh boy. Oh boy. And the Father looks down and sees your little group and says, ah, there they are. There they are. Every one of them in their little places. It's like a family, you know? And when you get together in the evening and it's supper time, and you look around and one of your kids is missing. You say, ah, who cares? He wasn't much of a kid anyway. Oh, no, that was my house. No. No, you say, where's Johnny? Is there a Johnny here? We just gained a Johnny in our chapel and it's just almost tied my tongue, you know? Johnny has always been my illustration for all these years. And now all of a sudden, you know, little Johnny does this and little Johnny does that. And I look down and the little guy's like, was it me, Dad? Really bad, I didn't do it. But that's not the way it is it? You get together for supper and you look around and Johnny isn't there. And you say, well, where's Johnny? Well, I think he's out in the yard. Well, we need him in here. Well, why? I mean, we can eat without Johnny. No, but he's part of the family. He's a necessary part of the family. And so somebody, probably Dad, We'll take his switch. No, I mean, he'll go out in the yard and get little Johnny and bring him on in. Why? Because it's a gathering of the family. It's supper time, and we all sit down together and enjoy not just the food, but each other. And some of you have experienced when your kids grow up and they move out and they go on to college or they go on to business or whatever. And, you know, they're still your kids. But there's a missingness at the table once they're gone, you know. It's just the way it is. And you're happy for them because they've moved on to something else. But, you know, there's a missingness about it. And the body of Christ, the church, is like that. It's a family. And this is part of the family that gathers right here. And I can't tell you, this, it's bigger than a bread box. It's huge how important you are to the functioning of this body. Why have another church in Reidsville? Let me count the ways. Virtually every other church in Reidsville, you know, if you need somebody to preach, what do? You go hire him. You need somebody to teach. What do? You go hire them. You need somebody to play the organ. What do? You go hire them. Get an orchestra. Go hire them. We've got a big church in our town. They have an orchestra. It's just about a full orchestra. I mean, to the point of they have kettle drums. I mean, this isn't just your worship team thing. I mean, it goes, this has got kettle drums, I'm telling you, and an oboe. Now, how many church orchestras have got an oboe? You know, most people don't even know what an oboe is. You know how they get their orchestra? Just trust God and He'll send them, right? Right, He's going to send an orchestra with an oboe and a tuba. I don't think He thinks they need it, but anyway, how do they get them? They hire them. And they hire them out of all the other churches in town. Now tell me this. Do you see anything wrong with me not being at my home church and taking money to come play my oboe at yours? Hello? Right? Not to be critical. It's a great orchestra. So, not to be critical, but, you know, if God needed an orchestra, I don't think He'd have to hire one. I think if God needed a pianist, He wouldn't have to hire one. If God needed a preacher, He wouldn't have to hire one. Now, labor is worth his hire, that's true. But it doesn't mean that it's a salaried deal with a guarantee. You don't hire oboes here, do you?
Next week.
Next week? We never thought of it. You see the difference there? Now, I think that's an important difference because, you know, if God loved you so much that He gave His Son, and His Son loved you so much that He reached out and He died for you, and then He places it on my heart to play like our brother played up here earlier, do you think I could say, well, listen, Lord, let's negotiate this deal. What's it worth to you to have me play? I'm a pretty good player, you know? I don't think so. Or if He lays it on your heart to be a Sunday school teacher or an oboist or whatever. And you see, that's a subtle difference. But in this local church, it's the people that do the work of the ministry. It's a major difference. Why do we need another church in Reidsville? Because there's these subtle differences that are biblical differences. That, thank the Lord, Reidsville Bible Chapel thinks are important. But you know, all that it takes for us to change to the other is if we don't show up. Then where does the piano player come from? And the oboist and all of this? We'd have to hire one, right? Because then you can count on them because they're getting paid. They'll show up for pay, right? We'll show up for pay. Not me, no. But that's where our hearts are, isn't it? See, these are important things. Who's the head of the church down the street? Oh, his name's on the sign. We've got a church in town. The preacher's name is hung up there on little hooks. It's not a good sign. I'd want my name etched in stone up there or something. You know, it's cheaper to keep me than to re-etch the stone. Who's on the sign here? Nobody. Nobody. Sometimes they'll list the elders, maybe, you know. Reedsville Bible Chapel. See, that's important. Who's the head of this church? Christ, right? Well, what denomination are you? Well, we aren't one. Well, what do you mean you aren't one? What pigeonhole do I put you in? What are you? Well, I'm just a Christian, right? And the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Is it important that we don't have a name? I think it's really important. If you call this Reedsville and you fill in the denominational name, I'll bet you double in a week number of people. Because people like to have a little label, right? And if you hung a little sign out in front and said, Jerry Denny, pastor, you'd probably, well, I don't know about Jerry. You'd gain people overnight because people want to say, I'm a part of some recognizable thing. And here's this bunch, they don't have a name, they don't have a pastor, they don't have, no, wait now, let's go back over that. We do have a name. It's the name of Christ. And we do have a pastor. In fact, I'll bet you got a ton of them here. Right? They may not have a label that they wear, you know, some badge. But I'll bet you when somebody's sick, there's people that go visit them. And when somebody's down and discouraged, somebody gives them a call. And if somebody just needs a shoulder to cry on, there's somebody there. And isn't that what a shepherd does? And they do it here for free. Well, not really for free. Because I've never done one of those things and not come away feeling like I got more out of it than I left, you know. It's a New Testament church. It's a church by the book. But you know, it only works if we're there and we participate. Because we own it. It's God's entrustment to us. And there's nothing more important than it. In fact, the Bible says that in all things, he might have the what? Preeminence, right? That means he should be number one above everything else. Listen, men, we'll meddle with the men. If the Lord Jesus and his things aren't more important to you than your jobs, you will never be the employee you should be. If the Lord Jesus isn't the most important thing, way more important to you than your wives, you'll never be the husband you should be. If he's not more important to you than your kids or grandkids, you'll never be the father or the grandfather you should be. He's got to be preeminent. And I'll tell you what, if you were the devil and you wanted to disrupt a local New Testament church, you would work at convincing people that it's too big a sacrifice to be faithful to the Lord. You don't understand, Mr. Bob. I'll lose my job if I go to the meeting. I'll lose my job if I even ask. Listen, God is too big for that. He will take care. And if they fire you, I'll guarantee you he's got a better job in the wings for it. Oh, even in this economy? Oh, yeah, this economy took him by mistake, right? God woke up one day and said, oh, my 401k has turned into a 101k. What am I going to do? God is too big for these things. You are a treasure to God. Look at verse 45. Again, he says, here, I'm going to give you another example. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking fine pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's you. That's you. You, as part of the body of Christ, are a pearl of great price. You are a treasure to God. You are the most valuable pearl in the entire world. And when he found you, He went and gave everything up and came to this world and hung on a cross just for you. He didn't say, well, you know, Father, I'd like to go, but I'm just not sure I can squeeze it into my schedule. Well, I'd like to go, but my wife, she, the kids, they, the dog, it. No, no, he said, oh, little Bobby Brown, orphan kid from South St. Paul, he's only worth $55.50 to those people down there, but he's worth everything to me. I'll go die for him. And he came down, and you know, he didn't just die. He was spit on, and his beard was torn out, and he was abused and whipped and beaten. And then they hung him on a cross. And he hung on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand. They don't know what they're doing. And then he said, it's finished. What an important thing to say for you and me. You can go to heaven today because it's finished. It's not nothing left for you to do. It's not Christ plus something. It's that he did it all. Now I'll tell you, you got a lot of churches in this town. But you can go to a lot of churches in this town and not just hear a simple presentation that God loves you and has a plan for your life. But you're a sinner and you can't avail yourself of that plan. But God had a solution, substitution. He would die in your place. And he leaves it up to you to choose. Do you want it or not? And if you want it, just reach out and take it. It's yours free. The wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift. Jesus Christ plus nothing. If you're like me, I grew up in a huge church, 20,000 members when I left there in 1964. Had meetings every hour on the hour. Well, they called them services. You know, you go there to be serviced. Like a lemming getting his kit bag to march to the sea, you know. members, and you believed what the preacher told you, and it was that you could lose your salvation. Now, how do you get it back? Well, nobody ever talked about that. You don't know, but it's got to be Jesus plus something, right? Every religion in the world is a do-it-yourself religion except Christianity. Everyone says you got to do something, and you got to do enough of it to get to heaven. Christianity says, no, it's all been done. It's finished. It's finished. All you have to do is believe it and receive it. You're not only a treasure, you're a pearl of great price. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Just two more verses. Verse 19. What? That's the first word. Right? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, we don't belong to ourselves. It's not our free will to say, I'm sorry, Lord, just too busy for you today. Some other day, maybe. Now, God will let us do that. He'll let us do that. But in reality, we're saying, you don't own me. Who do you think you are? I can do what I want to do. It's a free country, you know. And I think if we could see heaven, you'd see the Lord Jesus tear up as he thought to himself, I gave my life for you. I gave my life for you. I wasn't too busy that day on Calvary. I didn't have bigger fish to fry on Calvary. My schedule wasn't too full for Calvary. You're so precious to me. You're of great value. You're a treasure to me, Bobby. You're like a pearl of great price to me, Bobby. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. The idea of glory is the attribution of repute, attributing reputation. And so as we go about our day, we either add reputation to God or not. And so, Wednesday night comes. Wednesday night's easy to talk about because we're all here. Oh, you get it. Wednesday night comes, and we have a choice. Is this good to go or not good to go? Well, it's good to go. Okay, now, am I going to do good or am I going to not do good? And to me, it's sin. Well, I'm going to go. And my neighbors see me walk out of the house, and they see me drive down the drive. They see the cars drive in the parking lot out here. And what do they say? God is very important to those people. We've just attributed reputation to Him, haven't we? We've glorified God. We've given reputation to God because people see how important He is to you and me and that He is non-negotiable in my life. Bought with a price. We're not our own. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll just close with this verse. 2 Peter chapter 3. And the subject here is the coming of the Lord. We can see in verse 4, he says, people say, well, where is the promise of his coming? You know, you've been saying he's coming for all these years and he doesn't come. Hogwash, hogwash, just a pipe dream of the Lord's coming. Verse 9, oh no, don't worry. You know, a day in the life of the Lord, he's long-suffering. He's just waiting. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come. How? As a thief in the night. In other words, when you least expect it. No one knows when he's coming, but he's coming. He said he was coming the first time, and he came. He came just like he said he would come, and he's coming again. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in it shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Listen, the houses we live in, gone. The corporations we work for, gone. The White House, gone. We'll talk about that later. All these things, they're gone. They're just history. And when you think about that, what manner of persons ought we to be? You're building a house. And you're really working along on it. And I come along and I say to you, listen, I can tell you for a surety this house is going to burn down tomorrow. Now, Do you think it would be smart to continue building? It's a question. I wouldn't. I'd hang it up. A, I'm not sure I would trust Brown. But if he said it's going to burn up tomorrow, I'd probably hold up on my construction till at least after tomorrow. Right? And let's see how this thing washes out. Listen, the God of the universe is saying the stuff that we consume, that consumes our time, is going to burn up. Our jobs, our corporations, our 401ks, our, you fill in the blank. It's going to burn up. And when you see that what we're spending so much of our time, money, and effort on is just going to go, is it really the thing we should be spending all of our time, money, and energy on? Or should we put our time, money, and energy in those things that will last for eternity? And there's only one thing here that will last for eternity. And that's us, people. The body of Christ, the church. Valuable beyond measure. It's the only thing you can take out of this world is each other. And the souls that we reach here in this sphere. Jobs will go away. Don't make that the focus of your life. Businesses will go away. Don't make that the focus of your life. The house, the yard, the garden. Don't make that the focus of your life. The church, that which Christ loved, will go on forever. It's valuable beyond measure. Father, how we pray that you would help us just to put life into perspective. I confess, these are easy things to preach to others about and hard things for us to plow into our own lives. It's easy to say what we should do, and it's difficult to do it. Father, I would just pray that you would help us to get a little bit of a grip on the value of what's going on right here tonight, the gathering of the body of Christ, and how big a part each one has to play in that. My little finger is of not much significance, but if it wasn't on my hand would be a far less functional place. And so it is with us. The very weakest member of the body is still very important to the body. And Christ loved each member and gave himself for us. Oh, Father, help us to take it in and value the wonder of the New Testament church and this little part of it here at Reidsville Bible Chapel and how much of a part each one of us has to play in making it what it is. Father, bless. We thank you for each one who's come out tonight, and we ask your blessing on each one and on the homes and the families and the marriages that they represent. Give us grace for the night and the coming days, and bless all of this for your glory, we pray, in Jesus' name.